The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
A little bit earlier in the show, we spoke to Owen O'Brien, the Sinn Féin housing spokesperson, about this report into defective Celtic Tiger homes. This report was commissioned by the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien. The Minister joins me now. Minister, what is the report telling you?
Yeah, I did indeed, Kieran. The group has worked on this since February 2021, and the defects in apartments and homes is an issue I'm acutely aware of out of my own constituency of Dublin Fingal, and it's something I've campaigned for whilst in opposition to be able to find a way forward to help residents fix their homes. And I'm pleased now that we've seen through a programme for government commitment that we have the most extensive and detailed and comprehensive report into this very serious issue. But most importantly, on top of that, we've recommendations about how we can move on to help people and to help families in this space to get their homes back on track, to get their homes fixed and get their lives back on track. So it's 230 pages. It's, as I said, the most extensive report that's been done. Over 28,000 apartments and duplexes actually participated in the survey. So it's the widest survey and review that has ever been done on this issue. So now we've a really good handle on the scale of the problem, the types of problems within that, as the types of issues between fire safety, water ingress and structural safety, and then obviously looking down to what the approximate cost will be to fix this issue, and then how we go about helping to fix it.
So let's start with the scale. How many units are we talking about?
An estimation based on the survey that we have done and the work of the group itself, we're looking at between 62,500 and 100,000 apartments and duplexes that will have some degree of defect in them. About 70% of them would have, between 40 and 70% would have some fire safety defects, from 20% upwards some water ingress, and a smaller amount, thankfully, if there's any good news in this, quite a small amount that have structural issues, but obviously still a very serious issue for those homeowners. I should have said at the outset, Kieran, specifically to thank the group for the work that they've done, particularly the representatives of the homeowners, the Construction Defects Alliance and the Apartment Owners Network, who've worked really well with my department under the chairmanship of Seamus Neely. So, and they all gave up their time voluntarily, and the work that they've done is absolutely superb. So look, I just got the report at lunchtime today. I'll obviously be assessing it over the coming weeks and going to government colleagues with it to try to get agreement as to how we move on to help residents with this problem.
And that figure, the 60 to 100 odd thousand units, that is apartments and duplexes only, is it? It doesn't include standalone homes, housing developments? Because there is an issue there as well, we know, and people might be familiar with places like Midfield Manor in Newbridge, where a fire broke out and the burn time between units, you know, as per building regulation, should be somewhere between, I think, 30 and 60 minutes. An entire terrace of houses burnt down within a few minutes, and it turned out there was almost nothing between the plasterboard walls. So, I mean, there might be a lot more people out there living in units, kind of negative Celtic Tiger legacies.
Yeah, there undoubtedly is, Kieran. I think the group themselves set the terms of reference. I met them at the very start of the process. I allowed and wanted the group to set their own terms of reference of what we'd focus on first. And the predominance of the issues is certainly within apartments and duplexes and multi-unit developments. There's no question of that. That is the vast bulk of the issues that are there and the residents that are affected. So the decision was taken that we would approach that piece first. Whatever work we do in this space about how we set a process going forward as to how we even schedule the work, who's going to do the work, who's going to certify it, will help in other areas too. And obviously then decisions have to be taken as to who's going to pay for that work, how that work is going to be resourced, how we actually help homeowners, about 12% already, who've already paid for this work and who have had to do so because of, in some instances, very serious fire safety issues that they had to, you know, get on and do it. So we've completed this work as efficiently as we could through the working group. But there are recommendations set out as to how we can move it on now. And I think this will positively impact any others who may be affected, who are outside this initial trawl. But this is the vast bulk.
Okay.
This is the one where the real problem lies, you know.
So how much money are we talking about and how might it be paid for? Because I know it has been suggested in some quarters and it is, you know, mentioned in the report, I understand, though it's up to government ultimately to make a decision, is this idea that however much it costs, it would be paid for or partly paid for through a levy on property developers and builders in this country?
That's one of the options, and there's a number of options outlined within the report, and that's something obviously that would be a matter for us to decide at government based on the recommendations that I bring forward. We're looking at, on the basis of the issues that we've surveyed, the cost per unit ranged from anything from below at €2,500 to a high of around €80,000. But the average there being, and this is an estimation, is about 25,000 per unit. So it's a very significant cost. It could be anywhere between about 1.56 billion to 2.5 billion. But I've repeatedly said this, Kieran, and not from when I was, before I was even appointed minister, but since, is that the state needs to grasp the nettle on this issue once and for all and to provide a pathway forward for these issues to be rectified. And there's no question there's been a serious market failure. The properties we looked at range between those built in from 1991 to 2013. You know, it does, from reading it, it does make one, and as residents are very angry to see that a lot of these issues were born out of...
But what's your preference on funding? Because 2.5 billion would blow a fairly sizable hole in public finances or in spending plans for any government. Though the drawback, of course, of any levy on property developers is that they don't use their own profit margin to fund it. They simply pass it on to the paying customer. What's your preference as to where this 2.5 billion comes from?
At this stage, well, what I would say to you is this, is it has to be additional capital above and beyond the budget that we've identified that I have already to provide affordable and social housing at scale, and we're going to continue doing that. So this will be additional expenditure. As I'm talking to you right now, you know, it's not for me to have a preference, and that's been really honest with you. I have to go through the recommendations. I'll be briefing the Taoiseach, who's been very supportive on this, and the Taoiseach, indeed, and Minister Ryan, on the report, and with Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath as well, that we will sit together with Cabinet colleagues over the coming weeks to look through what the options are. And one of the options that is outlined, yes, is a levy, but there are other options also that are outlined. So
well, you do. I know you said you don't want to. You must have a view on the idea of a levy. What is it?
Kieran, to be fair, Kieran, I got the report at lunchtime today. It's 230 pages.
Yeah, but you didn't learn about the idea of a levy today. That's been talked about before.
No, the levy is one of... A levy is one of the options.
And what's the Minister for Housing's view on placing a levy on property developers?
Well, Kieran, what I'd say to you is this. You know, that there's no question that a large part of this issue was caused by some people who are still in the sector who have built homes here. There is no doubt in my mind where... the culpability and a large part of the culpability lies. Having said that, I need to be able to be allowed to take time to review the report itself, which I'm doing, to assess the recommendations, to talk them through with my colleagues, that we will come forward with a package that will help homeowners and that will be funded. I've been good to my word on this. I was part of the negotiations on behalf of my own party in Fianna Fáil and the Programme for Government that made sure that this was actually included in the Programme for Government. And this is an important step forward now that we have a really comprehensive, detailed study that is extensive and covers all 26 counties of this country and provides us the basis to move this on. And with the support of colleagues around Cabinet, which I hope to get, I intend to move forward with this. And so people will be able to see, well what we're going to do to help. And then the question rightly you put is, yeah, how is that funded? But that's a matter that not just within my gift, that's a decision that government will make as a collective.
The other, I suppose, a big thing on the government's agenda, Minister, today, at the moment, this week, is these discussions around agricultural emissions targets. And we understand maybe, if not white smoke, slivers of white smoke, little puffs of white smoke emerging, maybe about kind of 25% cut in emissions seems to be the compromise. I'm sure all parties will be happy that a deal has been struck, if indeed it has been. Despite that, I mean, the narrative from, how do we describe them, the environmental lobby, was that if you don't go all the way to 30% in agriculture and you come up short of it, and 25% would be short, then the shortfall has to be made up elsewhere. Is that true?
Well, what I'd say firstly is, I understand that Taoiseach Minister Ryan, the Taoiseach, and Minister McConnellogue will be making a statement later on this evening. I believe that they've progressed the issue to work it towards a resolution. Everything we're doing is based on the government's own climate action plan, which is very extensive, which is very ambitious, but is achievable, but most importantly is absolutely necessary. Like, we're probably the last generation that are actually going to be able to do something to reverse the effects of climate change, which we're actually seeing in our country and right across the world already. So, as the Taoiseach has said regularly, like, this is an existential issue. And we've not only have we our climate action plan, we've underpinned that with primary legislation and climate budgets. And I think, to be fair, the environmental sector, and I engage with them quite extensively as well through the biodiversity side in my own department, but also in housing, every sector of the economy has to play its part and will play its part. And I think the importance of a resolution to the discussions and an agreement cannot be understated. Some sectors, will require the support to help them to change in practices, and they're open to doing that. And we've seen that happening across the board. But like, climate, with all the issues that we have, the terrible war in Ukraine, we've the pandemic, inflation, all of that, the housing, which I'm acutely aware of myself, climate is the one that affects the world and everything.
Oh yeah, and nobody,
part.
Well, nobody rational is
well,
denying that.
Do,
but
I,
but
fair.
Yeah, some do, but nobody rational would say is denying the impact of climate change. What I'm getting to though is that is this 25% figure, and if indeed it's around
in or around,
but let's hypothetically, it's in or around that for a moment. I mean, if it's short of 30%, what we were told is that other sectors who've already signed up to targets would have to be revisited and relooked at. And actually, a TD in one of the government parties, in the Green Party, even suggested taking second cars off the road if the agricultural sector didn't pony up to the full 30%. Now, they're not ponied up to the 30%, which means you have government colleagues who think we need to go back and stop people driving a second car.
I think let's be realistic about this as well. And I understand the point you're making. I'm not going to get into speculation about what the final figure has landed on. What really important is what we do to achieve that reduction across all sectors. And I think most, and the reason I mentioned the point that, we're fully committed as a government to doing this, and we've underpinned our climate action plan by legislation and carbon budgets, which actually is ring-fenced to go back into doing things like retrofitting in older homes, is because the main opposition party have opposed that. We have a very clear plan to do that, and we're doing it already. So, I think the important thing is that agreement has been reached. Whatever that that reduction that has been agreed on, will be very significant. And our climate targets already in relation to carbon reduction are very ambitious. They are achievable, but they're certainly exacting, but they're necessary. And I would see this as a real positive, actually. We all know the importance of our agricultural sector and our agri-food sector, not just for food security, but for employment, and particularly in relation to regional development and jobs in our region. And I understand the discussions over the last few days have been constructive, have been tough as well, but have hopefully borne fruit. I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not being in any way trying to evade the question, but I don't know what the final figure has been arrived at. All I would say is that it will be very significant, and it will require changes in every sector, and that's what we're committed to doing as a government, because climate and tackling climate change is such a serious issue for us. We see it all over the country. We see it with the flooding events that we're having, the prevalence of storms. I see it here in my own constituency on the East Coast with the prevalence of easterly storms now that we've never seen before, and the scale of coastal erosion, all of those things. But then you look right across the world in relation to millions and millions of people having to migrate because of climate change. We as a country have a responsibility in that space, and government take that responsibility seriously. So I'm glad, hopefully, that resolution has been reached and agreement has been reached.
Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien. Minister, thanks a million for joining us.
My pleasure, Kieran. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.